Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Thank you for joining us today as we discuss how women are changing the tech world. Here we are talking about an article about women, but we're going to let Bill be in the class today, too, because we need the man's viewpoint on this, Bill.
Oh, yes, you do, and I am a very manly man. I'm glad to be here.
you know that women are doing a lot these days, and you admit that, Bill.
Yeah? Oh, hey, I love this article. Actually, when I was preparing last night, I was very excited about it because, I'll tell you what, I'm tired of reading about all the men in the tech world, Steve Jobs did and Bill Gates and the guys at Google, and let's shine the spotlight on some of the women.
Yes, and let's not forget the woman like Cher Wong, who is one of the women of Asia that's changed the tech world too. So we're going to have an interesting article today, and we have Lois with us. Lois, it's been a long journey, but women are finding success.
Oh, Doris, I really like this article. Maybe there's some things in it I can definitely relate to. I have a friend who has been involved in this industry very early on in it for women, and something my daughter and I talk about as well, Doris.
Well, we can talk about this as we read the article that we have here today. It talks about changing things and social revolutions, and ideas are changing, and we have to keep up with change. So let's look at page 26 today, and let's read the first part of our article down through line 21.
How women are changing the tech world. It's a long journey, but women are finding success. Reshaping a time-worn narrative isn't easy. Social revolutions rarely are, especially when you're a woman trying to break into the boys' club that is Silicon Valley. But an emerging class of early-stage tech startup executives is helping dispel the notion that there isn't a leading role for them in the male-dominated valley. The emergence of young female tech founders and executives reflects sweeping change in the worlds of startup companies and angel funding, where wealthy investors give money in return for a stake in a company. It underscores the enormous purchasing prowess of women online that is transforming the web economy. As more consumers reach for their smartphones and tablets to shop and communicate, there is a pressing need for commerce sites that cater to women, who control 70% of online purchases worldwide, according to Lisa Stone, CEO of Blogger, a digital media company.
We're going to find, as we read this article, that many different companies keep being mentioned here. One of them just says Blogger, a digital media company. Most of the things mentioned in this text, I haven't even read about before. What about you, Bill? A lot of new ones.
No, a lot of them were new to me too, Doris. Startup websites and small tech firms. And so I did go online and check a lot of them out. So they were brand new to me.
So we'll find out more about them as we go along. Didn't you find the same thing, Lois, that these are newer things that you hadn't heard of before?
Right, Doris. They really were newer sites. In fact, as some of them, I checked the date when they got on the internet because I had never even heard of them. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to see. And of course, a lot of them were kind of late spring 2012, maybe summer 2012. So this is probably why some of our readers may never have heard of them. And even us on the panel here, Doris.
Well, Blogger says it's a digital media company. And there's more and more of these being started all the time now.
Yeah, there's plenty, actually. In fact, most of the ones that we will look at throughout this article, Doris, are digital media companies in one form or another, or digital commerce sites.
Well, Bill, as we get started on this, what does a digital media company actually do?
Well, they're going to be primarily based on the internet, and they're going to provide information targeted at a particular niche. And it's usually going to be, it might be based on male or female, but also the demographics are going to include an age-specific group. And usually it might be 18 to 25 or 25 to 35, something like that.
Well, do they try to help with advertising and things like that? Or what do they actually – why do they have these digital media companies?
Well, you know, Doris, I found it's kind of to get people on board. So in other words, maybe you're a mom and now you want to find out things that are going to pertain to your family, to you being a mom, to your children. And they just kind of hook you up in that. And I really like it. I like what I saw.
You have to have time for all that.
Yes, you do.
Well, you know, it's also open-ended, too, Doris. They might start out in one realm, you know, targeting maybe mothers, you know, between the ages of, you know, 20 and 35. And then later they might move into other product offerings or information offerings. And they aren't restricted at all. They can change very quickly.
That's true. Well, at the opening of this article that was written by John Schwartz, it says here, it says, reshaping a time-worn narrative. And what is a time-worn narrative?
Well, time-worn is it's one of our vocab focus terms. It says no longer of interest or value because of having been used a lot over a long period of time. It's something that, you know, it's maybe old news, we might
right.
say.
The same old story.
Yeah.
Right. The same old story. It isn't easy to reshape something that we're used to.
Right.
That's what it really
right.
means, isn't
right.
it? And social revolutions rarely are, because especially if you're a woman trying to break into what we call the boys' club. That's not underlined here in line four, but we often talk about the boys' club. And it doesn't really mean a certain club. What does a boys' club, when you read that, what does that mean to you?
Well, it's a term we've had around for a long time, Doris. And sometimes we think of the boys' club as in way back, an actual club where they used to go maybe drink whiskey and smoke
only
cigars.
Men. Only
and
men.
Only men. And talk about the business of the day or their business or kind of what we would say today, they were really networking. That was really what it came
but
down
only
to, but
boys.
It was only men.
Only men,
but
right.
we called them boys.
So whenever you say, like sometimes certain schools, very old schools, they have all men on the board. And they say, well, it's hard for a woman to break into the boys' club.
That's right.
It's not really a club, but it's just the kind of a cliche that talks about things that have been usually only men on the board.
You know, what's surprising about this sentence, Doris, is that we normally would think of the boys' club, the old boys' club, being in the world of banking or industry.
Education.
Right? We would think of that, okay, the New York bankers, the Wall Street guys, the manufacturers. But it says that is Silicon Valley. And I read that and I thought, I can see that. Because it just the boys' club just moved west. It became a younger boys' club. It was all the techie geeks who
mm-hmm.
all – you know, went to school together, grew up together, and then they just had a new type of boys club. It was the techie geek
mm-hmm.
boys club. So it's a whole different type of club, boys club, but it's still a boys club.
So it's very difficult if you try to have a revolution and change this, the social revolution, what people are used to. But an emerging class of early stage tech startup executives, early stage, just starting. Startup means just beginning. They're starting to get rid of this word dispel. Just means get rid of the idea mm-hmm. that there isn't a leading role for women in this male-dominated Silicon Valley. Yes, women can do something there. And this is what our article is going to talk about.
Exactly, Doris. And we are seeing that the women are increasing in their influence in this area and in numbers as well.
Yeah, they're in the male-dominated valley, of course, being Silicon Valley. And, you know, again, previously women may have been pushed off to the side in administrative roles or things that were not directly related to the product development, maybe human resources,
mm-hmm.
advertising, promotion. But now we're seeing them move into the heart and the core of this business.
Right. So the emergence or coming out, you could say, of young female tech founders – and executives founding the company and being the CEO, this shows us, it reflects a very big change. It says a sweeping change in this world of startup companies and angel funding. Startup company, we all know what that is, but what is angel funding?
Well, angel funding is when certain individuals or small groups agree to financially support a whole new venture. And we think of, you know, our guardian angel. Maybe this is a little bit different. The, you know, this is your investing angel that just unexpected will support your idea.
You need their help. Without them, you can't do it, you know. And wealthy investors now give money in return for a stake or some kind of a money involved in the company. When you have a stake in something, that means you are involved in it. And wins or not wins that you lose or win with it, right?
Exactly. I was really thinking about that when Bill was referring to the angel funding doors, and I was reading about it because they said often with the angel funding, it's friends and family. And sometimes they actually call it FFF, which stands for friends, family, and fools, because they want to make sure this money does do what it's supposed to do.
Right. Well, so this underscores, and that just simply means that it makes it, emphasizes it more, the enormous, the big purchasing prowess of women online. In other words, women also have strength online, and that is transforming the whole web economy.
Yeah, it really is, and I really like this sentence. And you can see that, Doris, even just in my conversations with our coworkers here. They do a lot of purchasing online, the female coworkers, much more than the men, and this is revolutionary.
And because of that, this next sentence here, starting in line 16, talks about people now who are consumers. All of us, we reach out, we want to do something, we use our smartphones or tablets, we want to shop and communicate, and so many women are doing it. You better find something that women like. When you cater to something, what does that mean?
Cater, you're actually, it's not the cater that you think of to cater for a wedding or for food or whatever. It's here we're using the word cater as you want to directly be, I don't know, what do you say, Bill? Like,
well, you want to target your advertising to them. You want to target
and please
shape
them.
Your product offerings to them. So
it's just kind of for them. You want to have
do things
this
that they'll like.
For them. Yes, that's right.
So they like to please the women who control 70% of the online purchases worldwide, according to this Lisa Stone. 70% of online purchases are made by women. I didn't know
that's
that.
That's phenomenal, isn't it?
You know, what's interesting, after I read that, and that is impressive, but again, I can believe it. Women just buy
more
frequently.
Women like to shop anyway.
Men buy infrequently. They might buy a large item, but women will buy on a regular basis, almost weekly, and men don't do that.
And remember, a lot of women are buying not just for themselves. They're actually buying for their children. They're buying for their parents. They're buying for
their
a friend.
Relatives,
they're buying half-decent-looking clothes for their husband, you know, that sort of thing.
Right. So they are the one who purchased this, and according to Lisa Stone, and she is the CEO of a company called Blogger. It's a digital media company.
Yeah, they've got different posts on there with not just selling things, but actually their target is news of interest, articles that actually are, you know, relevant to women's issues, not just about shopping, but all sorts of social issues and things like that.
Okay, so did you ever check out that Blogger?
Yeah, I did. I actually read some of the articles on there. It was fascinating.
What were they about, Bill?
Well, one of the articles talked about how cell phones are used to track women in Saudi Arabia and how the women don't have freedom there and a freedom of movement and how they are persecuted. So it was not light fare. This was not about selling candles and perfume. Blogger was actually a pretty heavy-hitting site with some really great articles.
Well, that's good. Some of you might want to check out some of these if you have time.
Exactly. I think it's really good. I know for me, Doris, I go to some of them. I might not follow through with actually purchasing online, but then I know it's online. I go to that store, or I'll tell my husband to pick it up in his travels and give him my size. So I find it really helpful that way.
Well, that's true for buying things. And as Bill said, there's social issues about the treatment of women and the trafficking of women and all these different issues. Those are also discussed. And then women try to do something about it to help. So these sites, you can learn or even how to do things or cooking or all kinds of things you can find on these sites.
Mm-hmm. Right. They even evaluated cars in one article as far as what cars might be, appealing to the women. So,
okay, so we're going to find out now that this is changing the tech world because it has to appeal for women. It has to be something that attracts the women. That's what we're finding out now. So the next part of our lesson talks about what the ladies are launching or what they are starting to do. When you launch something, that means you begin it, you start it. So let's read the next part of our lesson.
Ladies are launching. Female users are the unsung heroines behind the most engaging, fastest-growing, and most valuable consumer internet and e-commerce companies, says venture capitalist Eileen Lee. She has invested in Brit, a lifestyle branding company, and Plum District, an e-commerce site for moms, among many ventures led by women. Make no mistake, the executive suite for business in general and the technology industry specifically remains a male stronghold. Just 3% of all tech startups are led by women, according to a Kauffman Foundation report. Only a handful of CEOs at Fortune 500 companies are women. Indeed, the glass ceiling remains a reality for many women, and charges of sexual harassment and sexual discrimination persist. Of late, it's been a thrill ride for female entrepreneurs in tech. Advances in technology, lower infrastructure costs, and ample angel investing have made it easier to launch an early-stage company, says Leah Buskey, CEO of TaskRabbit, an eBay of sorts for odd jobs.
So female users, the women now who are using technology more and more, they call them the unsung heroines behind the most engaging, fast-growing, and most valuable consumer internet and e-commerce companies. So in other words, women are what's keeping all of that going. Isn't that right, Bill?
Yes, and we see unsung heroines. I like that term, of course, heroines being the feminine reference to hero, which would be masculine, unsung. When somebody is an unsung heroine, they are the real reason that something is happening, but they may not be getting the credit or the coverage or
not well known.
Yeah. So they're like the secret reason why something is a success.
Right. Unsung means that they have not been advertised or promoted or nobody knows. It's kind of hidden in a way. Isn't that right?
That's right. And I think maybe some of these women were kind of hiding out in some of these companies till they went on their own.
But, you know, it says that the female users, the people that use it, too, they are very important. So all of you women who are using the web a lot, nobody says, oh, look what women are doing. But you are part of this unsung heroes, all the women using it. Isn't that right?
Yeah. You know, this makes me think of Pinterest. That site is so popular, and it is amazing to me how many women actually will go on the site and they love that site, and they can get a lot of good information. That's a great example of how they are driving this.
Yeah, I love Pinterest myself.
Why do you like that?
You know, it gives me ideas, but I don't want to feel like I'm stealing somebody's ideas because I still want to be creative myself. But then I think it's helpful. Sometimes you'll find something on it, like maybe you're going to have a dinner party that night and you find something new to make that you've never made before, or there's just a lot of great ideas. And then you also benefit from some people's wonderful photography on it as well.
I don't know how Lois has time to look at all those websites. Well, I think we got to give her more work, Bill. Right?
I do it in the evening,
oh,
truly.
Okay.
I do it in the evening.
But, you know, a lot of women, you're one of the unsung heroes.
Well, thank you, Doris.
But, you know, this fact is that this venture capitalist, and what is a venture capitalist, by the way?
Venture capitalists, these are people that invest in startups, new ideas, new companies, and yes, they will put maybe $5 million or $10 million into a company. Of course, the deal is, all right, I have a 30% or 40% equity position in this firm. If it does work out, then I will reap the benefits from that.
It's kind of like an adventure, but it's really a venture. You put the money for it to do it, right?
Yeah.
Well, she invested in what they call Brit, and it's a lifestyle branding company. So lifestyle just means it's just a way of life, and it's a branding. A branding company helps your brand become known, right? Like, for instance, Studio Classroom. It's a brand, and let's try to have somebody make it more well-known that
way. Exactly.
Right? So she does this. Have you looked at Brit, too?
Yeah, I did, and it's it actually covers all aspects. It's not just specialized one area. For instance, you know, the woman who behind Brit, she might be in the kitchen doing one thing. Then they will show how to design as far as your living room, and then maybe other things as far as how you might decorate, you know, a bathroom or a
bedroom. But it's mostly for women then, right?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely targeted for women.
Okay. Have you looked at that site?
I haven't looked at that site. I've looked at some other ones we're going to mention just a little later. I've looked at that one.
Tonight after work.
Yeah, I have to look at it. I know.
All right. You look that one up. Okay. But it's a branding company. And what about Plum District? That's an e-commerce. Did you look at that one?
I looked at that one, and I liked it right away. And I kind of think they might have misbranded it a little bit because they say it's for mothers, but I would think it would be of interest to any woman.
But not for men particularly.
Not for men, it's but for women. And once again, you know, there's things there like it's almost like a door crasher, Doris. Those old-fashioned door crashers when you had a sale and everybody knew about the sale and they would go there. Here it tells you, oh, there's a watch for this price or something you might like in your house for this price, where you can get the best deal. And if you go as a group and buy it, you'll get a discount. I just like it.
I just don't know who has time to look at all those, but I'm glad that Lois looked that one up. But hey, there's a
that
lot
was
of
part of my job, Doris.
It's led by women. That's
at
right.
Night, not at your desk.
No, this one was part of my job, so I looked at it at my desk.
That's okay, Lois. Okay. But it says, make no mistake. No matter what we're saying about this, don't misunderstand this. The executive suite, which means the CEO, for business in general and the technology industry, definitely or specifically still remains for the men. It's a male stronghold. So don't think that women are taking over the world. It's not that. And I don't think women want to, really. But just say that even still, there are more men than women in the business. And that's not good or bad. It's just a statistic, I think.
Well, it is something we say stronghold. It's almost, just imagine a fort where the men have got the fort and they're protecting it. And it's interesting, as I said earlier, it goes over into the technology industry too. Not much has changed up to this point.
Yes, it says just 3% of all the tech startups are led by women, according to this one Kauffman Foundation report.
That's right. And like Bill says, it hasn't changed much.
Right.
And we'll find out why it hasn't changed much in our article here.
Well, there's probably several reasons. I think one of the reasons is that usually men and women do have different interests, and women naturally have more interest in things about the home and the family because they're the mothers and take care of the kids. So you don't expect them to go all into the business world. Doesn't mean that they can't, but I mean they have their domain too.
We just have so many more interests, and we're just so much more interesting, right, Doris?
Well, I think the fact is that actually, as we all know, before World War II, in those times, the women really had to be at home, and there were not. But then, after the war, when people had to start to go into war, the women had to take over bus driving jobs as well as other things, and they got into that more. Yeah. However, a woman does have to be with her family, and they can't all be in business because they have to bring up the kids. So this is a very natural thing. It's not a good or bad man type of thing. It's just the way it is. Not right,
you know, in fact, Doris, as I read this section, too, it made me think of back in August of last year, we actually had an article titled, Has the Glass Ceiling Been Shattered? And that leads right into this sentence, only a handful of CEOs at Fortune 500 companies are women. And then we lead into glass ceiling. Some of the reasons why that occurred were in that article. And, of course, yes, what you mentioned, you and Lois mentioned, are correct. And part of the problem is, one, women have not been able to build up strong networks historically in companies. The second thing is women traditionally have not been strong at networking. There's a lot of activities that they do not participate in that men do, like playing golf or hanging out at the club with the guys. Women historically have not done that. Plus, they've been sidetracked by having children and raising families.
Right.
So it's taken them out of the loop, and that has prevented them from getting into the executive suite.
That's right. And actually, in a lot of companies, there are men and women working together, and they often say behind every successful man is a good woman.
That's
so
right.
Women have often been a help to men.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. They don't always have to be the CEO. They can work together. It's not him or her.
No.
Or thus,
we're not against each other.
No,
right?
I think it's a combination.
Exactly.
And a very good combination is a man and a woman working together.
Because
they have different skills and different things. So it doesn't really matter all the time. But this article is just saying that now the way things are, because there are a lot of tech things that are concerning women, that more women are getting into it. And I think we can just look at this as facts, not as any kind of a campaign for women to do more. Don't you think?
I agree. And I think it's just, you know, women think like women. And so they have these ideas and they think this will be a go with the women I know. And then it ends up being the women in their neighborhood and community. And it just keeps going, Doris.
Right. So it just says that only 3% of the tech startups are for women. And also usually men are more interested in technology and engineering, where the women do more like the HR jobs and the social things and things that can you know, so I think there's a difference in personalities and personal types too, don't you, Bill?
Yeah, I mean, and that has been the reality for many women. It is changing. And now one of the things I want to talk about here to finish this paragraph, Doris, are these two terms, sexual harassment and sexual discrimination. They persist. They continue to happen. They are distinctly different. Sexual harassment would be maybe women receiving comments at work about what they look like, or maybe some implied sentences about, you know, romantic interest. That's sexual harassment. Sexual discrimination is preventing them from getting a promotion or a certain position based upon sex.
Right. So it's been a thrill now for women to be the entrepreneurs in technology. And because it doesn't cost as much to start now, lower infrastructure costs and enough people helping them, this angel investing, they've made it easier to launch some of these companies. This was said by this Leah Besk, who is the CEO of the TaskRabbit. Did you look that one up too?
Yeah, that was really pretty interesting. TaskRabbit is actually where you can go. And if you need certain things done, there's like dog walking services, IKEA furniture assembly services. So a lot of little things that you might, your gutters cleaned in your house, you can go to TaskRabbit and find somebody right in your neighborhood to do it.
Well, look them up, because our time is up for now and we can talk about them more tomorrow. But thanks for being here today. And we'll continue this interesting article about startups and about changing the world, tech world, with women CEOs. See you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.